Hey guys, it's Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'd like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. In today's podcast, I'm going to be flying solo, but don't worry because Blythe will be with us in the next podcast, which by the way is just around the corner. So in today's podcast, what we're going to talk about is the old model of weight loss versus the new model of weight loss. And I think the distinctions that you're going to get today are really going to take our philosophies and put it into a framework for you so that you can begin to see how we differ from the standard calories in versus calories out model of weight loss. Now, it's no secret that we are not huge fans of that model, not because calories aren't important, because they are, but because it's a totally incomplete model. And it's so incomplete that it's almost totally ineffective when it comes to long-term weight loss. So in today's podcast, we're going to talk specifically about how the old model compares to the new model and how they differ. Now, this will probably be part one of multiple podcasts because there are various ways, quite a few ways, in fact, in which the old model does not connect to the new model of weight loss, which you're going to be seeing over the next decade and beyond. All kinds of research coming out showing just how to apply or utilize this new model. So why don't we start by talking a little bit more generally about the old model, and then what you'll do is we'll focus in on some specific things that you can do to kind of make use of this new philosophy of weight loss. And by new, I don't mean that it's brand new, meaning that this is just cutting edge information, because it's not. Over the last 10 to 20 years, we've seen this new model begin to present itself. But it's just now coming to light as the key or the best approach to long-term weight loss. So let's get right into it. Okay, so the old model of weight loss suggests that weight loss is all about mastering the internal game. So according to this model, you're fat because you eat too much and you exercise too little, right? Have you guys heard that one before? If you want to lose weight, it's easy. All you've got to do is just eat less and exercise more. Now, I've spoken about this philosophy for some time, and again, not a fan. I'm not a fan, not because it's wrong, because it is true that we do eat too much in general, and we exercise too little. So I don't want to say that that's false, because it's not. But the old model says that if you can just push away the dessert, cut down on the fat, get your lazy butt off of the couch, then you will lose weight, right? Finally, the old model presupposes that if you get fat or if you can't lose weight, it's your fault. The blame is on you. In other words, the weight loss game is an inner game of mastery of self-discipline and willpower. The new model says, sure, you know, there's an inner game, but there's also an outer game. And the outer game is equally, if not more important than the inner game, because the mind of the human animal is reactive to the external environment. And this idea that all we need is to use our willpower and self-discipline is seriously flawed, because it ignores the fact that our mind is reactive to food and our environment. When we see a high-calorie food, for example, a domino effect happens within our brains that results in the certain consumption or the near certain consumption of that food. It's actually a biochemical domino effect that takes over the body to virtually assure that we're going to eat those calories when they are available. So have you ever eaten something that you know is bad for you, while you literally screamed in your head, don't eat that, for the love of God, don't put that cookie in your mouth, only to eat the cookie? You know, if you did that, well, you've just experienced the neurochemical domino effect that literally commandeers your actions, commandeers your body. Sure, we have this part of the brain called the cerebral cortex that can manufacture willpower and self-discipline. But that willpower and that self-discipline is in short order. It is, in fact, one of our most precious and rare mental resources. You only get a little of it, and it's so easy in today's day and age to burn through that willpower very, very easily. The old model presumes, and this is kind of where it goes really wrong, the old model presumes that willpower and self-discipline are infinite. All we need to do is buckle down and choose to eat good foods and exercise more, and all will be bunny rabbits and puppies, right? They say if we don't make good choices, if we don't choose the right foods, or if we don't get up and exercise at night after a long day's work, it's because you're lazy and or you're gluttonous. Here's the deal, though. The science doesn't support this belief. In fact, it infuriates me sometimes to hear people, especially professionals, talk that way. In fact, the research suggests that these mental resources, willpower and self-discipline, are in very, very short order. It is true that we can manufacture them, but only in small quantities in a day. And again, you use those resources up so quickly because from the moment we wake up and we turn on the television to watch the morning news, we're bombarded by ads for really tasty foods. You know, we walk into the kitchen, we've got all kinds of stuff around us that is calling for us to eat it. And we start the minute we wake up having to resist stuff. So we use that up so easily. And then by the time we get to work and we have our lunchtime rolls around and somebody rolls out the birthday cake for one of 20 birthdays this week, then we have no willpower left to resist that. The new model suggests that willpower and self-discipline are precious, rare resources. And I know I keep saying this, but it's so important that we get this. We have to protect and channel those precious resources of willpower and self-discipline at the right time and towards the right end. So what is the right time and what is the right end? And it's very, very simple. Here it is. Instead of using your precious self-discipline and willpower to live in defense of the onslaught of food and couch, you know, those tasty treats that are constantly bombarding our, wanting us to come in and eat them, and the couch which is constantly calling us, especially after a hard day's work. Instead of using our precious self-discipline and willpower to resist those things, we use it to put into place and practice the systems that will allow you to circumvent these challenges with ease. You get that? Let me say it again. So instead of using the self-discipline and willpower to constantly react and resist these things that are constantly bombarding us, we use our willpower and our self-discipline to build and to put into place and practice the systems that will allow us to circumvent those challenges with ease. You see, most of us live in a state of reaction in which we wait for an arrow and then attempt to dodge or block the arrow as it comes at us. Now, this can work for a while, but let me tell you, it is a stressful way to live, isn't it? You would know because most likely you live that way. Most of us do. And the other truth is that eventually an arrow gets through and we take one to the heart. For example, the old model says, wait for the craving and then will yourself not to give in to it. And you know, you oftentimes hear the proponents of this model scream, be strong, don't be lazy, don't be weak, you can resist it. The new model says, though, that we are genetically designed to give in to cravings. And cravings are triggered by our environment or our situation. In the bush, let's go back, way back in time. In the bush, during our evolution, we would come across, let's say, a ripe apple on the ground. And then our reptilian brain, which was the first part of our brain to develop, would kick into action, compelling us to eat the apple before some other person or animal swoops in and gets those precious calories. In today's day and age, the apple is replaced with high-energy foods like cookies, cakes, candies, bread, pasta, rice, all those kinds of things that really attract us, right? You know, it reminds me of this time back when I was in pharmacy school, and I was driving to school in Baltimore City. And I was waiting at a stoplight when a homeless woman walked up to the window. Now, I was a college student. I didn't have any money, but I did have an orange that I was able to grab on the way out the door. And so I gave her the orange, and as I drove off, I looked in the rearview mirror and saw her just bite right through the skin into the orange. Now, that surprised me because I'm so used to peeling the orange first, and I'm sure that she knew that oranges are meant to be peeled. But the truth is, when you're starving, and it doesn't have to be real starvation, it could be perceived starvation. A lot of you guys that are listening, your bodies are starving for nutrients, and it perceives itself as being in a starving environment. But when you're in that state, the logical brain, the connection between the reptilian brain, the emotional brain, and the logical brain gets severed temporarily. So your logical brain basically goes on vacation. And that's why we kind of find ourselves almost in a trance, eating that food, screaming in our head, stop eating that food, stop eating that cookie. To me, I would not even think to bite right into an orange. But the truth is, you know, when you're starving, or when your body perceives itself to be starving, or when you have that heavy craving, there's almost nothing that you can do to stop it. Now, you know, listening to us, that I like to empower people, and I do realize that we have the capacity to be able to resist these types of foods, and we really should try. But what I'm saying here is that it should not be our primary mechanism for eating well. It should be a secondary or a tertiary mechanism. So the new model would recognize that every time we see a cookie jar, it triggers that primal desire for food. And the primitive reptilian brain then takes over, and before we know it, we're eating the cookie. Or if we manage to resist the cookie, then we are basically damning ourselves to be obsessed with the thought of that cookie until we finally give into it. How many times have we had something, some sort of tasty treat in the kitchen? We saw it. We had the craving for it. We resisted it. 2 hours later, we're still thinking about that tasty treat, and we finally give in to it. And that's not uncommon. That's what's going on here. That's why we need this new model. And this basically explains why 95% of weight loss studies fail within a year. And that statistic has been reported. It's been called into question. One of the most recent studies discovered that about 66% of people who are put into these studies, within 2 years, they weigh more than when they started the study. So let's say it's between two-thirds and almost 100% of the people who try to lose weight fail. I would say two-thirds is probably a good number, a good conservative number. But this explains it. This is why. Because we are trying to fight a primitive desire with our weakest part of our brain, which is the cognitive part, the part that thinks. The old model says that it's okay to have cookies in your home. You know, this old model says everything in moderation. Just be sure to eat them only once a week or once a day or once every couple of days. Don't eat them every day. Don't eat them every meal for sure. But the new model says that if it is in your home, you will eat it. And to think that you can ration the cookies is ridiculous. Come on, guys. We've been there, haven't we? We've all tried that, every single one of it. You, me, every one of our listeners has at one time or another tried to ration the tasty treats in our life. Doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because cravings and eating is more a subconscious act, meaning it happens underneath the surface, than it is a conscious act. It is a primitive process. And our body, of all other defenses, our body has been designed to defend itself against starvation. So instead of futilely attempting, is that a word, futilely? Futilely attempting to resist the cookie every time you pass the cookie jar. The new model says, gather up your willpower, walk into the kitchen, pick up the cookie jar, and throw it in the trash. Said another way, and I take credit for this wise statement that I'm sure will be used by sages of weight loss for decades to come, and that is this: no trigger, no worry about getting bigger. I imagine if Blythe were here, she would find that little statement humorous. Say it again: no trigger, no worry about getting bigger. Anyway, okay, so let's go ahead and review and get into the action step for today. If we want to succeed for long term, we must not stop at working on the inner game of weight loss by simply trying to will ourselves to eat less and exercise more. Instead, we've got to acknowledge the fact that the inner game is dependent and reactive to the outer game. If we are committed to losing weight and maintaining a healthy body for life, then we must use what little self-discipline that we have to build systems into our life that decreases the number of times we are faced with choices. Because remember, when we're talking about health and specifically about weight loss, the choice is always going to be between something that tastes great and something that doesn't taste as great. And almost always, the thing that doesn't taste as great is the thing that can help you lose weight or burn fat. Same thing with exercise and activity. We're always going to be faced with a couch, which is relaxing, doesn't take any effort. You get this kind of warm flow of feeling of relaxation that hits you as soon as you sit down on it or lay down on it. Flip the TV on. And the other option is getting up, putting your tennis shoes on, and condemning yourself to discomfort for the next half an hour to an hour. The couch is always going to draw us. So is that great tasting food. So the main purpose here, the main goal, is to decrease the number of times that we're faced with choices. Obviously, we don't need to completely eradicate outside influences. In fact, we can't. There are commercials and ads all over the place for horrible but tasty foods. Parties are happening all over the place. I mean, we're surrounded by them, right? At work, at home, with family, holidays. The goal is not to build life that is totally free of triggers. The goal is to control the triggers that we have the capacity to control. In other words, get rid of the cookie jars in your life. Even though temptation will remain in your life, do you think that maybe, just maybe, it would be advantageous for you to decrease those temptations by, let's say, one half? How about one third? How about three fourths? Of course it would. You have the ability. The average person, I would say, has the ability to decrease the number of temptations that they have in a day. I mean the exposure to the temptation, by one half at least. Most people, I'd say, could do two thirds. Some people even more than that. But of course it would make a difference. So your task for this week is to weed out at least five cookie jars from your life. So this can literally mean getting rid of your cookie jar if you have one. It could mean moving the kids' lunch snacks to a dingy corner of the basement or the garage so that they are inconvenient and out of sight. It could mean moving your husband or your wife's snacks out of the kitchen into a dingy part of the basement or the garage so that they're inconvenient and out of sight. It could mean taking a route home from work that passes your gym every day. It could mean deciding that you will clean out your kitchen of all of the offensive foods. It could mean kicking out your verbally offensive spouse that keeps you gravitating towards bad food. I know that that's probably a pretty big leap, but hey, if this podcast helps you do that, if you have that issue in your life, then by all means, I'll take it. You know, it could mean moving your treadmill to your living room and walking while you watch your favorite television shows. You know, the sky's the limit here. There's so many possibilities, possible ways. And all I want you to experience is a sampling of the freedom that that provides. Once you decide on your five cookie jars, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Facebook. If you haven't been to our Facebook page, then go to Cut the Fat Podcast. Just search Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word. Go on there and post what your five cookie jars are that you eradicated from your life. So until then, that's today's podcast, guys. I hope you got some value out of it. I hope it gets you moving. And really, I want to know what your five cookie jars are. And so it really does help us to know that you guys are putting into action the steps that we're providing to you. I really get joy out of that. So please let us know what you're doing. Let us know what cookie jars you took out of your life, how successful it was, where you guys had challenges. And if you want, check us out at www.cutthefatpodcast. Also, once again, Facebook, search Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word. Get on there. And if you haven't had a chance to go on and rate us on iTunes, please do so. And we will see you at the next podcast. I'm going to leave you with the Grilled Lincolns. The song is Something New. And they've graciously allowed us to use their music since we started the podcast. So I want to give them a shout out. And thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you at the next podcast here at Cut the Fat Podcast. So get out there and make this happen.
Flops in the snow. It's hard to really care.